How many of you have your Bibles this morning? Let's turn to Psalms 127. We're going to read the very first verse. Starting last Sunday, we began to talk about our eternal house that the Lord builds and not man, a building made without hands in heaven. And we're going to do some more talking about that this morning. Some of you were on. I asked to teach the Monday night study, Mr. Gowett. Deacon Gowett allowed me to teach his, and I taught on Wednesday, listened to Jen on Thursday, and have been looking forward to being with you here today on Sunday. So we want to talk about the house made without hands. Psalms 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Now, this scripture is a lot of good stuff to go into. How many of you ever read the Ten Commandments and you read about, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain? And people have different interpretations and understandings of that. When I bring this out about what it means to labor in vain, it will also apply to that commandment, not to take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Now, a lot of people think you take the Lord's name in vain by cussing and saying GD or using Jesus's name in a cussing sense. And by no means am I encouraging you to say anything like that. But I am going to bring you some understanding of what that really means, because what is God's name? What is the whole family of heaven and earth named after? Jesus. In the book of Revelation, he has a name written on his thigh and his vesture, and his name is the Word of God. So Psalms 94 and 11 tells us that the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. A lot of people, when you think about vanity, you think about somebody that lifts weights, or, you know, they have all those mirrors around the gym. I remember going to the gym with my wife for the first time, and she's like, what's the deal with all the mirrors? Why is everybody watching themselves? And that's pretty vain, you know, for to be like that. And you're watching yourself. And actually, if you've ever lifted weights much in your life, you realize you actually think about that muscle, don't you, Bryce? You tell that muscle, you may laugh at this, you tell it to grow. And you tell it to get bigger. And you're watching yourself and you're focused in. It's not so much that you're so full of pride you have to look now yourself all the time. Although I have seen people like that, they literally cannot keep from looking at themselves in the mirror. And sometimes that's funny, you know. But somebody might look at a person that walks around with their chest puffed out as being vain or walking in vanity. But because the scripture tells us that the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity, vanity is man's thoughts. So if you take the Lord thy God's name in vain, which is the Word of God, you're taking the Word of God in your own thoughts. And God will not allow that person to be held guiltless, it says in the scriptures. So if we take the Word of God and we falsely interpret it, if we say, this is what I think it means, that's your thoughts. That's not God's thoughts. That's taking his name in vain. And again, don't run around cussing and you're going to bother your weaker brother. You know, you're going to put a stumbling block before your weaker brother. I wouldn't do those things. Wouldn't want to. You know, sometimes you smash your finger or something and things happen. But the real understanding of this is just like he said here. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So if God's not building a house, how are you building it? With your thoughts. You see how that works? That's pretty good understanding, isn't it? What happens if you build the house of God, God a habitation, with your thoughts and not the Word? Because I'm just going to tell you plainly, this house we're going to read in 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, it's an eternal house. It's made in heaven. You know how this house that's made without hands is actually made? It's made by the Word of God. Now, ultimately, at the end of everything, this house is the body of Christ, which you are members in particular. So as you're building your eternal house, a habitation for God for eternity, you are actually in the body of Christ. This is why Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be there also. So who is actually building this house in heaven? Jesus is. How's he building it? He's building it with the word of God. And if you can receive this here today, it's actually literally prophecy that does it. We mentioned last week, Revelation, the 12th chapter, talking about that great red dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. They overcame him by the word of their testimony. So if you have a testimony, your foundation, your base for that testimony is a word that you've received. Does that make sense? So if we look at what prophecy is, the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So Jesus is in heaven building you a habitation for your heavenly Father to live in for eternity, and he's doing it with prophecy. He's doing it with his own word. If you think about how everything was created, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Bible tells us that God moved upon the face of the waters. But what happened when God talked? When he spoke, he said, let there be light. And there was light. It's the word of God that has created all things. I honestly believe, and you can believe whatever you want to, that God created this physical earth that we live in here. That he also, which I refer to many times as a here and now. The scriptures were written in the earth and in heaven. In other words, there were terrestrial bodies and celestial bodies. God created all of that. There was nothing made that hasn't been made by the word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. All things were made by him and for him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Even Tim, the book of Colossians tells us, doesn't it? So you can look up all these scriptures whenever you want to. I'm speaking these things to you, and hopefully you can receive them, and God will add to you in these things. How many of you feel like when you're listening to the preached word that you don't understand everything that's being said? Even today, possibly to this point. You know, you're talking about the book of Revelation, you're talking about prophecy, talking about creation, how all of these things were made. I want to put something out there real quick right now about this house that's made in the heavens. God's building the house. You don't have to. We talked about this on Monday or Wednesday, I forget. But what part do you have in building this house? Watch this. He said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So when you look at what God commanded Moses to build, he told him to build a sanctuary, a tabernacle, a tent. It was mobile. They could move it around, tear it down, build it back up. And it was made with the hands of the Levites. Very skilled individuals put this whole thing together. All the different pieces, whether it was brass, gold, silver, shittim wood, ram skins dyed red. You can go look at all the materials, and you can see a lot of them in Exodus, the 25th chapter. He said, God said, go get an offering of all these things. We're going to build this tabernacle. So that tabernacle, which is called the church in the wilderness, the tabernacle of witness that God told Moses, build it according to the pattern that I've showed you in the mount. So Moses goes into the spirit, he sees what God tells him to build, he replicates that, tells the Levites exactly what to do, how to do it, and they built that thing with their hands. Your house in heaven, it's not built with man's hands. It's the word of God that does the whole thing. And we'll just put out there right now, why is God building a house? To inhabit it, huh, Carrie? And that's what he did with the tabernacle of witness, the one that Moses built. But that one was temporary. See, have you listened to Pastor Hickey's teachings on the tabernacle? If you haven't, go online. They're very, very good. He goes into a lot of great stuff. But I'm going to make it really simple. This tabernacle, everything about it points to Jesus. from the first door. Is he the door? Yep. How about the holiest of holies, where there is a Ark of the Covenant, where the Ten Commandments were kept? On top of that was a solid gold mercy seat. So it speaks that mercy is above the law. You got anointed cherubs, angels on each side, and the high priest would come, not without blood, and with he would bring incense also, which is the prayer of the saints, and he would sit on that mercy seat, and God would come and inhabit that sanctuary, that tabernacle. He would talk to God, God would talk to him. He would offer the blood for the sins of God's people. Well, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. This tabernacle was prophecy. It was built in front of Israel as a prophet, as a prophecy to say, there's one coming greater. There's a permanent. I have a mediator. I have a place to dwell. It all pointed to Jesus. And when they would offer the blood for the people, for Israel, it would remit, Keith, their sins for 1 year. There was always a remembrance of sin. That's why the law, you couldn't be justified by the law, because it always reminded you of sin. Grace is not that way. Are you listening to me? We are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you could save yourself, you would boast that you're the Savior. If there was something you could do to save yourself, then you don't need Jesus. Are you with me? What happened in Israel was this sanctuary that was actually built to say, hey, Jesus is going to come. He's going to be the house of God. He's going to be your body. And it was prophecy right in front of their face. See, that which is first is natural, howbeit that which cometh afterwards is spiritual. God did all of this to show them, I got one greater than Moses. And Moses even said in Deuteronomy 18, the Lord shall raise up a prophet like unto me. He said, in him you'll hear. Go, you can go read it. He's talking about Jesus by prophecy, isn't he, Daryl? But what happened was they made it all a tradition. They didn't see it as prophecy. They didn't see it as a type and a shadow and looked for Jesus to come, many of them. The disciples did, didn't they? But they made it a tradition, and many of the sacrifice, I'm just use this for an example, it was supposed to be a lamb without spot, without blemish. You were supposed to take it to the first thing of the flock. Mike, you were supposed to raise that thing up yourself. It was perfect. It's supposed to mean something to you. And you were supposed to take that perfect sacrifice, as perfect as a lamb or a goat could get, and bring it to the Lord and said, this is for you. This is my offering. And what they started doing in the shambles and and in the marketplace was people were selling perfect animals. You didn't raise it. It didn't mean anything to you. You just took it to the high priest. You paid for it. You understand what I'm saying? This is what traditions do to you. It makes the word of God of none effect. You just start, as they sang earlier today, going through the motions. You know, I'm just going to church. I'm just living life. It really doesn't mean anything to me. Well, then you have never seen your house made without hands. You have not perceived that there is something so much greater. And the work that God's doing, he's laying up treasure in heaven for you, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, nor where a thief can break through and steal. But it became just a tradition, and it didn't mean anything. You see how that would work? How would you like your life to speak that? That I'm just so caught up in tradition that the blood of Jesus doesn't mean anything anymore. That the life of Jesus, I mean, I use the word of God to straighten people out when I think they're not moral. I use the word of God to manipulate people and get them to do what I want them to do. But I don't take the word of God and count it dear and precious and realize this is my life. Christ has to be your life. Heaven is going to be your habitation and an eternal place that God has prepared for you. So in other words, what does it mean to you? Because it's easy in this realm to just get caught up in tradition. Just go through the motions. Just do whatever. But let me tell you, when you begin to perceive the work of God, and God begins to put prophecy in his word and build a house made without hands for you in the heaven, and you begin to see that, that foundation is laid, and he starts to put up walls of salvation, and you got a testimony of every bit of what he's doing there, that'll change you, won't it? You won't just play church. Because that's what they were doing. They were playing with God. Just playing games. Just playing church. Didn't mean anything. How, what is your life with God, and what does Jesus mean to you here today? Is it the precious blood of the Lamb? Is he the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth? Is he your life? Is he your everything? Or is he just a little genie in the bottle that you rub the lamp and get him to, you know, I'm sick. God help me. Huh? I got this going on. I got that going on. I need your help right now. I've never been to prison, but I heard somebody tell me one time that a lot of people, the first thing they do, Keith, they get off the bus, they run straight to the tabernacle. They run straight to the church. Why? Because I need God now. I need some help. What kind of help? I need protection. There's big, mean guys here. And I need God to help me now. But when you really make God, Jesus, your life, and you begin to partake of the work of God, and you begin to see how this house that's made without hands, eternal in the heaven, is built and is made and is prepared for you for eternity, that'll change you. That'll change everything. There is so much I'm looking forward to saying here today about this. Let me get back to a thought that I had earlier. When you're building this house, it's the Word of God that builds it. It's the Word of God that has created all things, made all things for his glory, okay? When God had them build the tabernacle that he showed to Moses, that was going to be a type and a shadow of the true. The difference is man's not going to build this. Now, not only did they use their hands to put together the wood and the gold and the silver and the brass and all those things, but in a type and shadow, how would you do that now? If you think your merit, if you think what you can do, your righteousness is making you right with God, if you think you can pray enough and be okay with God, if you think you can fast enough and that makes you okay with God, aren't you doing all of those things yourself? I believe it's Romans, the 10th chapter, Paul addresses Israel. He said that they went about creating or forming their own righteousness. That was the Pharisees. That's the ones that the tabernacle didn't mean anything to, that Jesus didn't mean anything to. Why? Because they thought by their dress. They thought because of their prayer. Daryl, because they paid tithes, they gave alms, all that. They were okay. In other words, who's doing all the work? Man, you say, but all that's in the Word of God. Everything they do, are those things wrong? What do you think? No, they're not wrong. And you can do them in obedience, but what did Jesus say about the Pharisees? It's very important. He said, do what they say, but don't do what they do, because they say and don't do. That's a hypocrite, isn't it? I've had so many people as a pastor tell me, I'm not coming to church because it's full of hypocrites. Well, that's true. It's a spirit that does that to you. Has anybody ever been hypocritical in this room? Yeah? But that's a spirit working that in you. Can you discern it and walk as a true disciple, somebody that loves the Lord, and not be hypocritical in your walk with God? Now, I'm going to address something real quick. As we spoke last Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday, and I asked this already, but how many of you understood everything I've said? Did you know that God does not require you to understand everything that I say? Well, what do you mean? I want to know. I want to see where you're coming from in these things. Let me give you an example. After I taught on Wednesday, My wife and my daughter are on separate lines at home, okay? I come in the kitchen, they're talking about it, and Brianna says, I didn't get anything out of what you said tonight. She said, I didn't understand anything except for being willing. Because we asked, what's your part? If you go back and look in Exodus 25, God said, bring these things, Brianna. He said, bring all this to build it. He said, but bring it with a willing heart. You got to be willing. Daryl read scripture on Wednesday night, I believe it was, about the willing heart and the willing mind. There first must be a willing mind. And she said, the only thing I even heard at all is you got to be willing. And I said, whoa, hold on. That's all you were supposed to hear. God wasn't after all these things. He wasn't looking to indoctrinate her, Tim. He wasn't looking to help her to understand the book of Revelation right now. He had one word for her, Michelle. That was, I need you to be willing. I need you to be willing to let me into your life. I need you to be willing to let me guide you, to lead you, and all these things. And the funny part about it was, because I caught it right away, and I emphasize, you don't worry about all that other stuff. And I'm going to say the same thing to you here today. If you, who has a microphone, take that to Daryl, please. If you're listening here today and something catches your attention, I'll say it that way. The Bible calls that a quickening. The word quickening means alive. So Summer, if you're listening to the Word of God and that becomes alive to you, it means something to you, I'm saying it that way. If it's quickened to you, that's what you want to focus in on. As a matter of fact, if God's doing that, I don't even care if you listen to me anymore. Because that word is there to quicken you, bring you into the spirit where God's building that eternal house, and he's going to build a little more each time. So I tell Brianna, you weren't supposed to hear all that other stuff. You didn't need to understand this house made without hands. What you heard was exactly perfect. Now embrace that. And I mean, her countenance changed. She realized I did hear from God. Ironically enough, last night, this is so funny. I'm glad my wife's out there teaching the teens. I can talk about her. Every single week, Chrissy's like, Brianna, you're going to church tomorrow. You're going to church. You have to. I'm not going to watch a baby. You don't go to church. You don't go to church. I'm done. I'm not doing anything for you. As she's watching the baby. I'm not going to Costco and getting you your baby formula or your diapers. Hey, where you at, Chris? I'm at Costco getting the baby diapers and formula. All right. Okay. You're going to church tomorrow. Brianna said, you can't tell me. You can't make me. I'll go when I want to go. And they argued back and forth a little bit there. And I went, hold on a second. Do you not remember Bible study the other night? She's like, what? What is God dealing with your daughter about? Oh, and it hit her. Oh, she's not willing yet. No, but God's talking to her. God's helping her. But, no, I'm not trying to shame Christy, but would she have been trying to build that house with her hands? Would she have been trying to do the work of the Lord, Diane? You know, when we're talking about this house, you can go to the parable of the wise man and the foolish, right? Jesus taught a parable of a wise man that built his house upon a rock and a foolish man on the sand. That rock is Jesus. I can already tell we're not going to get to the foundation today. I already tell you that. Like I said, I don't care how many weeks it takes. I'll teach it for a month straight, Daryl. But there has to be a foundation. You'll see in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul said he was a master builder, Mike. And he said, I laid the foundation. And that foundation is Christ. He said, no, you can't build on any other foundation but Christ. That one word right now for Brianna is her foundation. God's talking to me about being willing. I'm not willing right now, okay? Your house is on the sand. It's all right. Because once you receive Christ and you lay that rock, you lay that foundation, now God's going to begin to build on that. Isn't that awesome? So here I am with the word that God's give to me. Here I am speaking it, but I have no expectations on any one of you in this church whatsoever. Did you know that? Bryce learned this a long time ago. I have no expectations that you will hear, that you will understand, that you will do, that you'll be obedient. None of it whatsoever. You know where my expectation is? On God. The word of the Lord can't fail. My expectation is on the word of the Lord. It's on prophecy. I know it's going to work. What's my job? Like Paul said, I plant, Apollos waters, God gives the increase. So if I speak and that's what I said to Brianna, all that other stuff was a sowing. She goes, well, I don't remember, I don't understand. You don't have to. When a seed falls into the ground, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. You don't realize how much word of God has been sown into your hearts. Those of you that come to these Sunday meetings and to our Monday and Wednesday and Thursday Bible study, you don't realize how much prophecy has been put into your life. But God does. And Paul's a master builder. And Jesus is the husbandman. He knows how to get a harvest. He knows how to plant. He knows how to water. He knows his Father will give the increase. So I learned this a long time ago. I don't have an expectation on any one of you here. I know God is faithful. I know God will work the work. I do understand Paul's writings when he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's where your house is being built. So as long as I sow to the Spirit, Allie, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and I could just trust God and believe God and let him be faithful. And you know what? I'm going to testify to you right now. Every time. Every time. Maybe not in your time, but every time, Rex, God's faithful. And he raises that word up. I watch it all the time. Many of the times I realize and understand, Mike, I sowed that. It's like so much honor and privilege. God, you let me speak. You gave that to me. You let me speak it. It worked your works. Wow. Keith, that's like, it makes life worth living, bro. I don't know how anybody in this world lives without Jesus. I really don't. I told God a long time ago, if I'm going to live in this life without you, then just kill me. I was 25 years old. I'm ready to die now. Get me out of here. Because a life without you is not life to me. You say, well, I like my life. We got a buddy online right now. He just had his birthday this last week. Went to the casino for his birthday, won $380 on a slot machine. That's good life, isn't it? No, you know what I told him? I said, they got you. Hey, Rudy, they got you. Because you win that 380, what are you going to do? He's ready to go back right now. He's probably thinking about it while he's in church. Keith told him, brother, they didn't build that casino on winners. It's the truth, right? Yes. But those things, you know, it could be fun and you enjoy this and that, but I'm talking about life eternal. I'm talking about beyond a casino. I'm talking beyond a house, beyond a car, into eternity. So, Bryce, lay up your treasure in heaven, not on earth. Lay up your treasure in heaven where a thief cannot break through and steal, where moth and rust can't corrupt. Lay it up in heaven. And I promise you, you're always going to be pleased and always going to be happy with what God's doing. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He said, no man can come unto the Father but by me. So when we'll finally yield ourselves over, Merle, and like he said, come learn of me, I'm meek and lowly of spirit. Come, get in the yoke with me. When you agree with Jesus and you get in that yoke and he begins to pull that, do that work, pull that yoke. Now, how shall two walk together except they be agreed? You're agreeing with it. He's doing the work. He's the carpenter's son. He's building the house. Huh? And I'll promise you one thing. There's some skilled individuals in this place, but Tristan, Daryl, the house the Lord builds is way nicer than anyone you guys can do. Even Rudy.
I agree.
So accept that this is what we're going to get across today. Except the Lord build the house, they that build it labor in vain. It's not my works that's going to do this, Carrie. I'm going to have a willing heart, God willing. He's going to give me an ear to hear. There's going to be good ground for him to sow that seed. And next teachings we're going to get into is this foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. You have to have that foundation. And I'll just put this out there for you real quick. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, if you look in Paul's writings right there, there's six principal doctrines leading you up to perfection. And here's where the point you go, I don't understand what you're saying right now. It's okay, remember? You probably already got what you needed today. But there's six principal doctrines, but there's two foundational doctrines out of that, and it's this simple. Repentance from dead works and faith toward God. If God asked you, that's the foundation. If you're not thinking about the Word of God right, God will bring a thought that will change you. He'll correct that thought. That's the sand. You were building your house on the sand. And when the winds came and the storm and all those things came, the house you had built falls. That's the fool. The fool trusteth in his own heart. Are you with me? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. But what does the wise man do? He builds his house upon the rock. Anybody ever pray wrong? Yeah, all of us. You pray the prayer amiss because you pray to consume it upon your own lust. But watch, if God comes and says, hey, you're doing this wrong, he plans on showing you how to do it right. So the wrong way was the sand. We brushed that all out of the way. The right way is the rock, Mike. Now we have a foundation. It's repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Now, once you have a true word of God, you say, well, what do you mean a true word of God? Every word of God's true. It is. But it does matter who interprets that word. If you do it in the flesh, you're going to miss God. If God gives the interpretation, like Merle testified on Wednesday, then you got a rock. You were built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the first stone laid. Every one of you are going to be different. Every one of you are going to have a different word. Some are going to be similar. I know for a fact, my daughter Brianna, God's looking to lay a foundation. And he's showing her, you be willing to trust me. You be willing to give me your heart. And I promise you, I will be a good steward. I'll take your heart. I'll take your spirit. And I'll cleanse it. And I'll make it new. And I'll raise you up. And you will live with me for eternity. That's his promise to her. But it's also your promise. Amen? So we're going to take our time. We're going to do it right. Okay. God bless you. Thank you very much.